talking about maybe sharing a little bit, I thought maybe I'd share a little bit more about the Holy Ghost, that specifically since the things that you've been mentioning, things that you're saying, the believers that are going to be in this midst and moving about to wherever the refuges are going to need to hear from Him. They're not going to need to hear from man. They're going to need to hear from the Spirit of the Lord. And not to go on a great in-depth teaching about the Holy Spirit, but just to go over some few basics, because there's so much out there in the churches today about the Holy Ghost, about, well, you know, you receive Him when you become born again, and that does happen, or it's an automatic thing, and it's really not. I thought maybe I'd go over a few scriptures and a few things, as those that the thing over the years as I have taught specifically on this subject, I have found that most people that are seeking the Holy Ghost are really not seeking the Holy Ghost, they're seeking tongues. They're really seeking basically a gift that is inherent in the Holy Ghost. And so consequently, they have problems, which has nothing to do with their salvation. They're saved, but they're seeking a gift. I mean, we should seek gifts. I mean, the Bible teaches us to do that. But the gifts are as the Spirit wills, whereas the infilling of the Spirit is through the heart, as well as all the other things from God, come from the heart, the motive. What are we really seeking, and what do we really want? And, you know, some people get curious about, well, you know, so-and-so prays in tongues, and so that's what I want. That'll prove that I have the Holy Ghost. Well, there are a lot of evidences about the Holy Ghost. I believe one of them is a prayer language that is given that is in the spirit of each individual that is born again, that allows us to speak to the Lord through an unbiased mind. It's not filtered by our mind and the things that we have going on within us. The other major evidence of the Holy Ghost are the nine fruits of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians. Maybe I ought to read a little bit there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says, and probably start at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication and uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, wrath, factions, divisions, parties, envying, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is the evidence of having the Spirit within your life, is love, which is, I think you've heard love pour out of Dave every time you've heard him talk, especially about his heart about having a place where people can be trained in how to stand and how to bring people unto the Lord. But the gift is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such as this, there is no law. And they that are of Christ have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk. Let us not become vainglorious, provoking one another, or envying one another. So, an evidence of having the baptism in the Holy Ghost is an operation of these fruits, and they are manifesting, I believe, in the lives of God's children in a way that some of them are diminished and some of them are really, the Spirit is really working in those areas. God is cleaning up His body so that they can operate and move. Like when the Lord says, this is the way, walk ye in it. Go not to the left, go not to the right, and I will be a lamp unto your path. But going into a brief how God brings us to the point of seeking His Spirit, let's go to John 6:44, get that out.
Right. Boy, Rex, you hit a really good spot there. You know, that's you know, so many people magnify the tongues, and so, of course, I love to pray and sing in tongues, and most people that have that gift love it too, and they're edified by it and built up. But this is the most important sign of the Holy Spirit, isn't it?
Amen. You're quite right.
I certainly felt this when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, is just a lot more of the gift of who the Spirit is. You know, not just the fact that He speaks in tongues through you to the Father, which is an awesome gift to pray according to the will of God, but that He lives through you and giving you these gifts. That's just so important.
Amen, Brother Dave. You're quite right. You know, there's a lot of emphasis, which you well know. Most people that if you teach about the Holy Ghost, you will get, I can't tell you how many questions, and especially I get a lot of questions from UBM from the people that write in about how do I get filled, or why can't I receive, or why can't this happen in my life, or these kind of things. But if you boil it all down, they basically have heard somebody that was baptized in the Holy Ghost speak in tongues, and they hear that that's a manifestation, and that's what they want. And that's the wrong thing to seek, where, again, which we'll probably go over here in a little bit, that one of the nine gifts of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues, and the other one is interpretation. And so, you know, why would you want to speak in, and Paul mentions this very plainly, that why would you want to go to church and speak in tongues when nobody's there that can interpret, and it doesn't mean anything to anyone, when Paul says you ought to pull into yourself and speak to yourself and to God. And you definitely speak to God very well, which, again, as an evidence versus a with the anointing. But in John 6:44, we start with 41, because people are always complaining about what God is doing in the Word. They don't get it. And it says in John 6:44, it says the Jews, or starting in 41, the Jews therefore murmured concerning him, because he said, I am the bread which came down out of heaven. Pretty plain. Whole book from the, I call it the G to the R, Genesis to Revelations, is all about Christ. It's not about anything else. And I'm the bread which came down out of heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I am come down out of heaven? Jesus answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me. This scripture I want to get to is that coming to Christ is a revelation. And once you get that revelation, the agent of change, which is the Holy Ghost, is given so that he can mature us into a mature believer. But he says, no man can come to me except the Father that sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. Now, that is a definite statement about how the method of salvation occurs. It's not joining the church, not even necessarily going down to an altar. It's having a recognition of the call of God in your heart, and you could be anywhere. You could be in your car. You could be in church. You could be in the street. You could be at a wherever. You could be watching television, and God can come upon you and give you a revelation, and once you have been given that revelation, you're responsible for it. So what happens is, he makes this statement in John 6:44. Now let's go to Matthew 16, where Jesus is now talking to his disciples. Chapter 16 in Matthew. Let's start with verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the parts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" And that is everybody's question that they must answer in their heart. Who is he? Who do you believe him to be? "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto him, "But who say ye that I am?" It's a personal thing. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." It's a confirmation of what he spoke in John 6:44, revelation. Now, you have the revelation, you answer who Christ is in your heart, you bend your will to him, and he comes to reside in you. That's what the word says. In Romans 8, going there, Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 9, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." There's two things happening here. There's Spirit of Christ in us, Spirit of the Father. "But if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, now we have the Holy Ghost. He that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall give life unto your mortal bodies through his Spirit dwelling in you." So we have the ability, as born-again believers, to have the power of the Holy Ghost and the Father and the Spirit of Jesus in our life, which changes us, brings us into another realm. He's the agent of change. He begins to mold and shape us into the image of Christ. It's like Paul said, even though we have known Jesus after the flesh, I know him no longer after the form, but after the Spirit. And that's where God's trying to get all of us. Stop looking for the flesh man Jesus and start looking for the Spirit. And then in John 14, let's start in verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." So we know that a person that's not born again can't receive this. "For it beholdeth him not, neither does it know him. But you know him, for he abideth with you and shall be in you." Those are two positional relationships. The with is the anointing, and the nine gifts operate as the Spirit wills. The infilling is he is with you and you still have the nine gifts, but you also have a resident within you that allows you, that unleashes that which your spirit has been yearning to do, which is to speak to the Father through an unfiltered mind, through a mind that your spirit man goes directly to him. And Paul tells us in Thessalonians that we are to perfect our spirit, our soul, and our flesh. That he's working on all of those parts of our body, of our being. And John 14:26, just reading a little bit further up, that the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Well, he's speaking specifically to his disciples there, but he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, so he's speaking to all of us. He's speaking to each one of us, that if we will pray the Father, he will send the Comforter, and the Comforter will come, and he will teach us about Jesus and show us the things of Jesus and show us the things that are going on with the Lord. In chapter 15, verse 26, the Lord says, but when the Comforters come, who I will send unto you from the Father, he's praying the Father's sending it, and Jesus saying, okay, let's do this. But when the Comforters come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall bear witness of me, and you also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And if we allow the Holy Ghost, and we have the Holy Ghost within us, then he will teach us about Christ, and therefore we will know the things that they knew. There's nothing that we cannot do if we will yield to the Spirit of the Lord. He will do it. John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak from himself, but whatsoever things he shall hear, these shall he speak. And he shall declare unto you the things that are to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall declare it unto you. All things whatsoever the Father has are mine. And therefore I said I that he taketh of mine and shall declare unto you. And when you listen in to Brother Dave, when he's talking about the Lord speaking to him, the Spirit is speaking to him and giving him word, because he is fasted and he has prayed and he has studied and he's made himself available for God to speak to him, and he's learned his word. And the Bible plainly says that, you know, don't worry about what you shall say when you need to say it. Just open your mouth and I'll fill it. And then when you seek him and you know that you're in his will, because it is his will to speak to us, that's what the scriptures we just finished reading, it is that Jesus said the Spirit's going to teach you all the things that you need to know. And Jesus said, I never do anything I didn't see my Father do. I don't say anything I don't hear him say. I'm still asking him to put a guard on my mouth and some of my thoughts, because I have not arrived at that point where I just talk what I hear him tell me and do what I see him doing. I'm, you know, like many, I'm by faith, I'm believing that God is doing those things within me, and he's changing me and molding and shaping me into the person he wants me to be. I've talked to Dave. The Lord has given me a song called I Choose to Be on the Potter's Wheel. I'm eventually going to try to get, I guess it's not going to be Pensacola any longer. I guess it'll be in Tennessee, to get up there where I can get some of these songs that the Lord has given me to put them down where other people can benefit from them besides myself. And if we allow him to put us on a potter's wheel, his Spirit will bring us to places that we probably wouldn't even think about doing or going, because we don't believe that we could survive if we went and did it. But he will make a way. He will make a place for us to be safe, to be be secure. He will make a way for us to be fed. He will make a way for us to be protected. That is his call. And that's the whole heart of UBM, is to be expended for God, to be expended in these last days. The question that a lot of people have to answer within their own heart about things that they've been taught through churches is that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is an essential happening that God has planned for his children. And if you set under teaching that teaches anything that's contrary to what is written in the Word, then it's obviously not God, and it's obviously wrong. And the Bible is not given to one man's interpretation, so it supports itself on numerous scriptures over and over and over. I've asked many people, even when I've counseled, I've sent them back emails that you have to make up your mind, where all the people in the upper room, Jesus told them to go and to tarry in Jerusalem. Told them to go and wait. Because at that point, they would receive power from on high. And so they do. Now, I started this out basically saying, you know, let's look at John 6:44, where it speaks of no one can come to the Father lest the Father draw them. And then we looked at where Peter made a confession, and it's mentioned in other scriptures in the New Testament about the regeneration. So Peter and that group of people had received Christ. That confession of faith means that they were, in my opinion, born again. But he tells his disciples, and he tells there were 500 people see him leave the earth. And of the 500, only 120 of them are waiting for him in the upper room. And they were praying. But what has to happen in the hearts of those that are listening tonight is if you have to answer the question, were those people in that upper room, were they born again? And if they were born again, if there's a teaching that you receive the Spirit when you get born again, then what would they up there doing? And what we do know, based on the Word, they were up there waiting for the Holy Ghost to come upon them. And Dave used the scripture earlier, which in my heart confirms where I was going, and we hadn't chatted about this, but he used the scripture in Acts chapter 1. It's very, very important, but I'm going to start at verse 6. And they therefore, when they were come together, asked him, saying, Lord, dost thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, is it not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has set within his own authority? But you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and unto the othermost parts of the earth. And when he had said these things, they were looking, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were looking steadfastly into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, you men of Galilee, why are you looking up into heaven? This Jesus, folks, that means there's not another one. It means the one that they were looking at, he's the one that's coming back. This Jesus, who was received up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you beheld him going into heaven. Then they returned unto Jerusalem to the mount called Olivet, which is nigh unto Jerusalem, the Sabbath day's journey off. And then we'll need to go to chapter 2. And I'd like to start at verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and spoke forth unto them, you men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, that be it known unto you, and give ear to my words, for these men are not drunk. Well, let's back up. Let's go up higher. And when the day of Pentecost, starting in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was now come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound, as of the rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them tongues, parting asunder like as a fire, that sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's generally what people are seeking. They're seeking to speak in tongues. When this happening, nobody laid hands on them. Nobody had prayed for them to receive. They were asking Jesus, because he told them in John 16, if you'll pray the Father to ask for the Holy Ghost, he'll send you another comforter. So these people were up there. In my opinion, they were born again, and they would pray, just like Jesus had commanded them to do. And the Spirit came to them, and his infilling, because it says they were filled, it didn't say with, it says that they were filled, and they began to speak with other tongues. Then what happens, you see there's an operation, because what happens to them, they go down, they spill into the street, they're all still doing under excitement and under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and they're speaking in tongues, and they go down in the street, and people start doubting them, wondering what's going on. Picking back up again, let's go to verse 12, and they were all amazed and were perplexed, saying one to another, what means this? But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and spoke to them, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and give ear to my words, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is with that which was spoken through the prophet Joel. Now here, people, is a word of knowledge that is coming to Peter about what's going on. So now you're having an operation of one of the gifts. I will pour forth my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men dream dreams. Yea, and on my servants and on my handmaidens in those days will I pour forth my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above, signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon in the blood, before the day of the Lord come, that great and notable day. And it shall be that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's an interesting point, because now he's talking about people calling on the Lord, but it's calling on the Lord from a revelation. And ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God, unto you by mighty works and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, even as you yourselves know, him being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you by the hand of lawless men did crucify and slay, whom God raised up, having loosed the pangs of death. Verse 32. This Jesus did God raise up, whereof we are all witnesses, being therefore by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. He hath poured forth this which you now see and hear. For David ascended not into heaven, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make your enemies the footstool of thy feet. Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and sent unto the Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And not to stray from where I'm headed with this, but most of us have gone to churches and been involved in denominations or been involved in things where people beg you to get born again. They play music and they'll add all kind of caveats. You know, if you need to join this church, or if you want to come down, just make things right, or whatever, whatever. But the key Again, it's all prefaced on John 6:44. The Father has to give the revelation. He has to draw. And where's that happening here? It says, they say, brethren, what shall we do? And in verse 37 it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. That doesn't mean that they felt like convicted or guilty. They had a revelation that something had happened in their heart, that they were talking about someone they needed. What shall we do? Peter, this statement that's quoted over and over and over again about the baptism in the Holy Ghost, they were pricked in their heart. Brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ unto the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the important thing here, he doesn't say, and you shall receive the gifts of the Holy Ghost. He says, you shall receive the gift. And this is what the Father has given to the believer. He has given the Holy Ghost as the gift. Inherent in the Holy Ghost are nine gifts. Also inherent in him, or in his power, is the ability to love, the ability to go through long suffering, the ability to be kind, the power to be tender, the power to be merciful. Those are evidences of the presence of the Holy Ghost and his power, his personality. And so that you can understand that where Dave has talked, and you've heard several of the elders speak on previous programs, the urgency of what's going on now on the earth, and that you would have to almost be oblivious to anything in the Bible not to understand that we are living in last days. You know, I mean, are they the last days, or are we in the this part of the tribulation or that part of the tribulation? I mean, the Lord has not showed that to me. We are in the last days. There's no question in my heart and in my mind and in my spirit that we are headed as a church body into troublous times. And being in a place without the Spirit of the Lord is not going to help. You're going to have the Spirit of the Lord in your life to get through the things that are fixing to happen on this earth, and specifically in America. In Acts chapter 8, and then I'll probably not far off from closing, Brother Dave, if there's some things that you want to bring up. I mean, I've written a book that's almost complete, talking with Doris, and she says that it's in the final throes of being done, and it goes into more depth than what I'm talking about and what's going on right now. But it's important for believers to receive the power of the Holy Ghost in their life, not to seek a specific gift to show the other believers that you have the Holy Ghost, but to seek Him so that you can be anointed to do the work that God has called you to do in your specific life, in your specific place, and at your specific time, or wherever you are in your life with your family. In Acts chapter 8, starting with verse 9, and there was a certain man, Simon by name, who before time in the city used sorcery, amazed the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this is that power of God which is called great. We have a problem. We have a tendency and a problem. A lot of times you see something and you might see a wonder, might see a miracle, and it's immediately associated with God, and it's not. That's why one of the gifts of the Spirit, discerning of spirits, is something that we must have in these last days. which is called great. And they gave heed to him because that of a long time he had amazed them with his sorceries. But when they believed Philip, now Philip came preaching something else, the truth, preaching good tidings concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now that means, in my understanding of this scripture, that means those people that Philip witnessed to were born again, and they were baptized. And Simon also himself, the sorcerer, the guy he was born again to, just wasn't sanctified, we'll see. He continued with Philip, and beholding signs and great miracles wrought, he was amazed. And when the apostles that were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they came down to them, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. So right there is fairly obvious that those people that had heard the good tidings, heard the news, been pricked in their heart, been baptized in the name of Jesus, had not received the Spirit. And when they came down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't say that they heard anything, okay? It doesn't say that they heard them speaking in tongues. It doesn't say that they heard them prophesying. It doesn't say any of those things. Now, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered him money. So evidently Simon saw something, and I would, you're not supposed to add to the word or anything, but whatever it was that he saw, it set him to seeking, saying, give me also this power, that on whomever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said unto him, your silver perish with thee, because thou hast thought to obtain the gift of God with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right before God. And there is the crux and the key of a lot of people, and it's not an upbraiding. It's an upbraiding for Simon, for sure. But it's not upbraiding if a person that has been seeking, you know, you can go to some pastor and say, well, you know, I've been seeking the Holy Ghost for 10 years, and I don't have him. I haven't received the power. And you'll hear an answer like, well, you know, tongues are not for everybody. I mean, that's immediate response. Tongues are not for everybody. And that's an erroneous answer. And it's also a correct answer, because speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues are gifts given by the Holy Ghost as he wills, not as we will, but as he wills. And you receive a gift, one of the nine gifts of the Holy Ghost, as he wants to impart them to you. And Simon evidently saw something, and I would venture to say he heard something, and he saw some reactions, and he said, you know, hey, I want this. Simon wasn't sanctified yet. Many people that get born again still have habits in their life that God's still dealing with. Not everything is cleaned out all at once. It takes time for some of the things that we have planted. I can remember when I became born again, and then after 3 years later when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I remember reading scriptures about reaping what I sowed and all that, and I remember saying, you know, I used to pray to God, I'd like to have some crop failure. I'd like for you to, you know, I've got some seeds coming up from my past life. They need to die. They need to just be gone. And the reason I was wanting them gone, because they carried with them all the same trials and tribulations I had when I was lost. And I didn't want to go through all that. Didn't want to have to deal with that. You know, I wanted some Roundup to spray on them so they could die real quick. Well, they didn't. And they came up, and they kept, they grew, and they had to be starved. Their foundations that were built in me had to be destroyed. And we had things in our lives that we have done and we have participated in that we get delivered from instantaneously when we get born again. But there are some things that still hang on. And I know this as counseling for the number of years that I've counseled in a Christian way, that people are born again, speak in tongues, and they still have things. Would you pray for me that this would stop? Would you pray for me that I would quit doing this? I'm weak in this, you know. And they go back and they use some of those scriptures that Paul spoke, using them erroneously by saying, you know, the things that I would do, I don't. The things I don't want to do, that's what I'm doing. Oh, who's going to deliver me, this wretched man that I am? But you keep on going and reading about Paul's life, he got free from all of that. You can't revel in, oh, I'm just too bad, you know, I just can't get free from that. Sure you can. You have to expect God to help you. You need Christian brothers and sisters that pray with you and pray deliverance over you and binding and loosing, and the word is the truth. It never changes. But Peter tells Simon, repent. Therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray the Lord, if perhaps. You know, he told him to repent, and then he told him to pray. You know, you need to repent and pray that God move on your life. Pray the Lord, if perhaps the thought of thy heart shall be forgiven thee. For I see that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. And Simon answered and said, pray for me to the Lord, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. He obviously believed Peter had a good connection. When therefore they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel to many villages in Samaria. Chapter 9. Let's talk about, you know, again, about being born again and then receiving the Holy Ghost. Chapter 9, starting with verse 10. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go to the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one named Saul. Now, you can read above that where Saul's riding with his buddies. He's going to this town, and he's riding along, and he's going to put Christians in jail. He's going to kill them. He's going to do whatever it takes because he believes that his religion is the right religion. And he's very adamant about it. And he was very sincere. Like a lot of us, sometimes we have things that we believe very sincerely, and we are sincerely wrong. And Paul is one of those people. He was believing what he was doing is of God, and he believed he had scriptural background to do it. He went to Ananias and Caiaphas, and he went to all the high priest people, and not Ananias, but he went to Caiaphas, he went to the high priest, he went to those people and said, you know, hey, I need some papers so I can go get rid of these people. Don't you see they're dismantling our whole deal here? They're dismantling our faith. They're dismantling everything that we've stood for all these years. And so, yeah, they give him the papers, and he's out on the road doing that. God knocks him off his horse. And he wants to know, what's he doing? Why are you kicking against the bricks? And why are you doing that stuff? He's blinded. But the thing of it is, going back to John 6:44, he had a revelation because the Lord is speaking to him. And going back to verse 11, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go to the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one named Saul, a man of Tarsus, with the holy praise. And he's seen a man named Ananias coming in and laying his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Keep that in your mind. He's going to receive his sight. But Ananias is told some other things. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many of this man how much evil he did thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon your name. But the Lord said unto him, go your way, for he's chosen unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him. Now, he's not showing Ananias. He just told Ananias. For I will show him many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And that's the thing you've heard Dave say. Dave and his family and many of the elders and the people that you hear on this with UBM, it's cost to follow the Lord. It's not free. And everybody says, you know, just get on the bus. It's all free. It's not free. Salvation is free. You betcha. But walking in the footsteps of the Lord and trying to abide in Him and hide behind Him costs. And it's not money. I will show him how many things he must suffer for my namesake. And Ananias departed and entered into the house, laying his hands on him. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, who appeared unto you in the way which you came, has sent me that thou mayest receive your sight. And look at the next part of the verse. And be filled with the Holy Ghost. Ananias didn't go give him a message about the gospel. Ananias didn't teach him about Jesus Christ. Ananias didn't say anything to him about the good news. That was told to him when he was knocked off his horse. And then he tells him, which God told him, you lay hands on him to receive his sight, but Ananias said, under the anointing, that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, it doesn't say that Paul spoke in tongues. It doesn't say that he did anything. But he goes into 1 Corinthians, he talks and thanks God, he prays in tongues more than everybody else. So he received the evidence which he teaches about. And he also received the fruits. If you read the gospel, I mean the epistles about Paul, that Paul had written, you will see the love pour out of him, the long-suffering, the kindness, the gentleness, the tenderness, the faith. Faith is a gift and it's also a fruit. And you see Paul residing and resting in those gifts and in the fruits. And straightway there fell from his eyes, as it were, scales, and he received his sight. And he arose and was baptized. This is not a teaching about baptism. I have thought on that. You can't find one instance in the Bible that I could see. Maybe, Dave, you can help me if I'm wrong, where a person receives Christ that they wait weeks or months or make it say, well, it's just an ordinance. Don't worry about getting baptized. And I realize I wouldn't say that baptism saves you, but there's some important things happening if you're not baptized. If you've been born again, if you've never really been baptized and never really understood that if you're dying, that you associate yourself with Jesus Christ and you allow the water, the washing of the word to cover you, which kills you, and then you resurrect through the power of the Holy Ghost, then you haven't understood what baptism is. These people that were baptized in the Word that we read about meant that they were associated unto death with whom they were baptized under. And it generally, if you read in Hebrews, it cost them their life. It cost them. If you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, it cost to have an association with Jesus Christ. And he received his sight and rose, and he was baptized, and he partook of food, and he was strengthened. Go to Acts 10. Let's start at verse 38. Even Jesus of Nazareth, now how God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things. This is Peter talking. We are witnesses of all these things, which he did both in the country of the Jews and Jerusalem, whom also they slew, hanging him on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and gave him to be made manifest, not to all the people, but unto witnesses that were chosen before God, even to us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he charged us to preach unto the people and to testify that this is he who is ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him bear all the prophets witness that through his name every one that believeth on him shall receive remission of sin. And while Peter yet spake these words, now see, Peter's bringing them the gospel. The Holy Spirit fell on them that heard the word. And they of the circumcision that believed were amazed, as many came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Who's the gift? The gift is the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Spirit, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. It's interesting to note that every time you hear someone being filled with the Holy Ghost, and they have the evidence of speaking in tongues, that none of these apostles, none of the disciples, no one around them told them to be quiet. No one told them they couldn't do it. No one told them, don't be talking like that. No one told them any of that stuff. It's not until it lands into a formalized church that Paul has to bring correction. Because people that are baptized in the Holy Ghost and they have the evidence of speaking in their prayer language were doing it with unabandoned, just doing it. And some were prophesying and some were speaking in tongues. And Paul, and it was confusing new believers that were coming in. But at this point, what we're seeing in the book of Acts, no one corrects anybody. Ananias didn't correct Paul. The people down in the street didn't correct Peter. Peter didn't correct the 120 that they all received. Nobody's correcting anybody. Not until you get into the formalized churches of today do you get corrected. And then, well, you get corrected because it's being done improperly. Wrong place, I'm sorry. 10:44. To him bear all the prophets witness through his name. And while Peter yet spake words, the Holy Spirit fell on them all, fell on all of them that heard the word, and they of the circumcision that believed were amazed. As many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter. So here's an indication that, you know, you look at Paul. Paul, the scales fell off his eyes, and he got filled with the Holy Ghost, and then he went and got baptized. With Simon and the believers that Philip had, Philip preached the word. They became born again. They got baptized, and then the apostles showed up. They got filled with the Holy Ghost. So there's two different happenings. You can receive the Holy Ghost before you get baptized. You can receive the Holy Ghost after you get baptized. But you can't receive him if you're not born again. Because the Bible says the world does not know him. Can any man forbid the water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? And he commanded them. He didn't ask them. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Chapter 11, over verse 12. And the Spirit bade me go with them, making no distinction. And these six brethren also accompanied me. And we entered into the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, send to Joppa and fetch Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall speak unto thee words whereby thou shalt be saved, and all thy house. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, even as on us at the beginning. So he went back to his group criticizing him because he's talking to Gentiles, and they're saying, what are you doing? And so Peter's trying to clear it all up for him. And I remembered the word of the Lord. Now here's Peter. I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If then God gave unto them the like gift as he did also unto us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? So you see, the gift is the Holy Ghost. Repent. Be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what Peter said. But here, the same happening to Peter, they're getting the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, before they got baptized. And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then, to the Gentiles also has God granted repentance unto life. And I'm sure that Dave probably has a teaching about what we just read, that piece of that information, because there's a lot of depth in what that scripture just said. Because unto them is granted repentance unto life. Then chapter 19. Most of everybody, I would think, has read this. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus and found certain disciples. And he said unto them, did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed? There's a tremendous teaching just in that scripture. These apostles, all of them, when people got born again, they not only wanted them to get born again, they wanted them to get baptized, and they wanted them to receive the Holy Ghost. You find that happening over and over, even over the scriptures we've read. These apostles are adamant about these tenets in the Bible, getting saved, getting baptized, getting filled with the Holy Ghost. And they, you never see them giving up on that in here. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said unto him, nay, we don't even know much as here whether the Holy Spirit was given. And he said unto them, then how were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him. That is on Jesus. Well, they were disciples of John because John pointed to Christ, and they repented, but they just hadn't known whether he'd come or not. But they were disciples. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. Notice they don't make another confession of faith or confession about Christ unto salvation. They just got baptized under the right guy, the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and they were all about 12 men. I'd like to, Brother Dave, it's okay, I'd like to read, go into 1 Corinthians 12, and I won't go into the corrections that Paul did to the church about praying in tongues and all of that. We can save that for another time. But I mentioned in Galatians about the fruit, but inherent in the Holy Spirit, he has nine gifts inherent in the power. And I'd like to just briefly go over that. Would that be okay?
Yes, wonderful. And be sure and save enough time for you to pray for everyone to receive the Holy Spirit.
I will, brother. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant, and you can obviously understand Paul is teaching here, and he's talking to them, and they're talking about gifts, and it's in the church, and they're trying to figure out what's going on, and Paul's trying to tell them, yes, it is, and you don't need to be out of sorts about this. You know that when you were Gentiles, you were led away unto those dumb idols, howsoever you might be led. Wherefore I make known unto you that no man speaking in the Spirit of God says, Jesus is anathema. And no man can say Jesus is Lord, but in the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of people can just flippantly say, yeah, Jesus is Lord, and say, well, you know, the Spirit make them say that? No, the fact is Jesus is Lord. Whether they understand it or not is immaterial. Jesus is Lord. And when you are anointed and when you are saved and you say Jesus is Lord, you know, we all say, you know, I'll make Jesus my Lord and Savior. Well, making him your Lord means over all those other things we read about earlier, all the things that you and I and many believers are still believing God to sanctify them from, to correct them from, to change their thought patterns, to change their action patterns, to change, you know, well, I'm always depressed. Well, then you need deliverance. But to change all those kind of things. And so, yes, nobody can say those things saved by the Spirit. Now, these are Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And when I teach this, there are the gifts are nine, but there are power gifts, there are vocal gifts, and there are revelation gifts. There's three for each category. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of ministries, the same Lord. You can notice how the Lord is talking, and he starts mentioning what operates these. Diversity of gifts, the same Spirit. There are diversity of ministrations, same Lord, that's Jesus. And there are diversities of workings, but the same God, that's the Father. So you got ministries, you got diversities of the gifts, you know, the way the gift of healing operates, and maybe Brother Frank Thornton operates differently in Kevin Ray, but it's the same Spirit. Not a different Spirit. It just uses the personality of the people that are making themselves available. And different way that they do it, the ministration and the same Lord. And their diversities of working, how it all happens. But the same God who works all things and all. But to each one, that includes everybody that's listening to me, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit to profit with all. You're not given a gift from the Holy Ghost so that you can go make money on it, so that you can charge a fee for it, or so that you can have people come and give you money because God has laid the gift of healing on you. When you start doing that, you'll get a different spirit, and you'll probably still be healing, but it won't be from God. For to one is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith in the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healings in the one Spirit. And to another, workings of miracles. And to another, prophecy. And to another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these works, the one and the same Spirit, dividing to each one severally, even as he wills. That means that what Paul is doing here is explaining what Jesus said in John 14:17. He will be with you, and he will be in you. You study the Old Testament, the Spirit moved on people, and the Spirit even moved on people that were evil. And a gift can operate as the Spirit wills, either or, whereas the filling of the Spirit cannot. It can only be within, he can only be within a believer. So what you have is Paul is beginning to bring forth a teaching about the Holy Ghost to the Corinthian church, starting in verse 12, it actually starts in 11, verse 12, 13, and 14, he starts explaining, correcting, and tweaking, which what apostles do, the church, in the use and in the operation of what's going on in a body. Today, we would be blessed to see the operation of the Spirit in the church. Most churches you go, you don't see anything. You just see the pastor. You see his Spirit, or you see whomever. But you don't see the operation of God. You don't hear wisdom. You don't hear knowledge. You don't hear somebody prophesying. You don't hear a message in tongues and somebody give an interpretation. You don't see the operation of miracles. You don't see calling for the elders of the church and anointing with all so that they can be healed. You don't see those operations. Why? Because he's not welcome there. They have an agenda. They have a way. They have a belief system. They have who receives the Spirit, who doesn't receive the Spirit, what is the evidence, what is not the evidence. And the word is very plain, and it's really not hard. It's very simple. If you can take Simon the magician, who worked his work with the devil because he was not of God, and he was doing supposedly miracles, and they had confused it, saying it was of God. And Philip corrects all of that, and then the apostles come, and they see this group of people, and they pray for them to receive the Holy Ghost because they had not received him. They'd only been baptized, as we read earlier. So you can see the importance of being born again, being baptized, and being filled with the Holy Ghost, because then you can have church. That's when you really have church. And you have, like Paul says, I'll pray in my spirit, and I'll pray in my understanding, and I'll sing in my spirit, and sing in my understanding. And I agree wholeheartedly with Brother Dave. I play the guitar, and I enjoy playing my guitar and singing in tongues. I don't know what I'm singing, but it sure does feel good inside my body. And I do know that there are times when I go to him because I don't know how to ask him for something or something that I need to hear from him. I'll put it out in my English, and then I'll say, Father, I'm going to pray in tongues. And if I'm praying a perfect prayer or a good prayer about the things I've just asked you in English, I would appreciate if you would give me the interpretation, because Paul says I can do that. Go into your closet and pray under your breath, or pray in your by yourself in your spirit, and then ask God to interpret it for you. And so he will, and he'll never tell you anything that's not in his word. I mean, you know, you get a word from God that doesn't line up, or you think it's from God, or you think you've heard something, it doesn't line up with the word, it's not God. So it's pretty easy. So I agree with Brother Dave. Y'all, the rest of the elders that are listening, and Brother Dave will agree with me. I know that there are people out there that are seeking the Holy Ghost. I know that. And I also know that there are people that have sought him for some of you years, and you've almost reached a point, or have reached a point, that you're just done with it. And it's not something that, you know, it's just not for you. You've been told that so long, it's not for you. Or some of you have been carrying, you know, and part of the book that was written, that I wrote, that through the anointing, you know, Jesus told them to tarry in Jerusalem, and, you know, not to be trite, but if you're going to tarry, that's where you need to go, because that's what he said, you know, go to Jerusalem. But Peter explained all that away when he said, this is what the prophet Joel said, that this is what's going to happen. And he has been given to the church to strengthen, and the church corporately, and to strengthen each individual living stone. That's what his job is. And he's telling Brother Dave, and he's telling Frank, and he's telling Kevin and Rob and Willie and the rest of the elders, and Rory, he's telling them, even he's telling y'all the things about Jesus. We're not talking about a different Jesus, because there is no other Jesus. There's only one. That's why Paul said, if somebody comes preaching a different Jesus, don't even listen to them. Don't waste your time. So those of you that have in your heart wanted tongues, you know, if you repent, you don't want tongues, you want the Holy Ghost. And we'll pray in agreement. We'll pray in agreement. We'll all agree. Father, we come together as a body, Father. We love you. Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. Oh, my goodness, where would we be without Jesus, Father? Father, thank you that you planned a plan for my life and for the lives of those listening right now, that you have a plan, that you wrote it down, Father God, from the foundations of the world, Father, that you are calling your children, and, Father, you wish for them to be filled with your Spirit. So, Father, I thank you. And, Father, you have anointed me on many, many occasions to pray over by phone, to pray by letter, to just pray. You don't need hands laid on you to receive. You just need to have your heart right. So, Father, I just thank you that those that are listening that have sought you with their heart, that you would touch them now, Father, Fill them, Father, with your Spirit, Father God. Release the evidence that has been trying to come forth from them. You are the agent of change, Father, with your Spirit, Father God. And I ask that they not seek anything at this point, Father, but the gift. The gifts will come, Father, but the gift of the Holy Ghost, Father. Let them ask for that gift. Let them ask for Him. And, Father God, You are faithful and just to give us those things that we ask. And, Father, we know that we pray in accordance to Your will because it is Your word that we seek the baptism in the Holy Ghost. So that is Your will. So we are praying in accordance with Your will. We are praying in agreement, Father. Your word says, where two or more are gathered together in My name, that You are in the midst. And as they agree as to touching anything, it shall be granted unto them. Father, fill Your people now as we pray in agreement. In the name of Your Son, Jesus, amen. Hallelujah and glory to God.